today I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it goes right along with what we've been saying. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we just have a dumbed-down, watered-down religion. And we resort to gimmicks. And that's where, if we resort to gimmicks, you know, you start comparing. If we have to resort to, now just hear me out. Because I'm not saying, I'm not against any specific thing. You know, there's no certain dress you have to do. There's no certain type of music that is right or wrong. It's all about gathering together and blessing God. So if we have, you know, a video screen up here, or we don't. Right now we're small enough and don't have, you know, we don't have a video screen. When we have a video screen, that doesn't mean now that we have newer technology that we're more of a church than when we're not. And when I say more of a church, the people in here, because like we started out saying, we're the church. And if we think the flashiness, and like I said, I'm all for using whatever resources we need that are going to help. They're all tools. It's like, you know, I'm a computer engineer. I have certain tools. I don't use the same tools for every job. I use the tool that's right for the job. But if I sit there and just use some tool because I think it's really neat, but it's not doing the job, I'm wasting the people money who's paying me. I'm not doing my job. If it's not helping me, it's not forwarding the task, even though it's really neat, it's not helping. So whatever, we want to use whatever resources we have that God has led us to use so that we are, so the church is edified, so that we can spread the gospel, whatever. But we don't want to substitute anything. Anything can be a substitute for the power of God. My point and what I want to speak on today is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'll notice, if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, then we are really no different. Now, we may be saved, we may be born again, but the way the early church, the way they operated is they had the answer that the world did not have. They saw things that the world didn't see. That was the witness that told people that they were speaking from God. They had the supernatural in their lives, and they were bold about it. If we all we have is that we try to do the same things that just, you know, whether they're cool or flashy or what, like I said, I'm not against anything. But if we substitute to basically cover up for the fact that we don't have the power plant anymore, then we've deceived ourselves. Now, if we have the power plant and we say, yeah, and we do all this stuff, but that's secondary because if we don't have the source, this is nothing. If we have the source, this is all just glitter. I mean, it's like, you know, you decorate a tree. If you don't have a tree and you have all the decorations lying around, it doesn't look very good and it doesn't do, and nobody wants that. It's just a pile of decoration. But if you have the tree and you put the decorations on the tree, then you have the real deal. Now you have the thing that you're just sprucing. They're the details. They're the finishing touches. They're the garnish. But the power of the Holy Spirit is what the beginning church had. That is how the gospel spread. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And that's what every one of us has. I want to read to you before we get going, you know, full into that. Let's turn to Luke 4. Go back to turn back to chapter 3, verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. Now, at that point, now in verse 23, now Jesus himself began his ministry of about 30 years of age, and it goes on. At that point is when we start seeing things actually happen in Jesus' life. Up until that point, in any gospel, you didn't see anything of the things that characterized Jesus' ministry till he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. But he had the Spirit of God on him. And then that may seem contrary to religious thinking, but God himself needed the power of the Holy Spirit. They're Trinity. There's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the power source. The Holy Spirit's the one that's on the earth today. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes things possible, the supernatural on this earth. So now turn back to the verse I was going to start with, verse 18 of chapter 4. Let's back to 16. Luke 4:16. It says, so he came to Nazareth. Jesus comes to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He was anointed. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And I want to tell you, the Spirit, if you're a Christian and if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is important, you the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed you. Every one of us in this room, if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can today. And that is the power source that we need to go out and do to be the church. That's what they did in Acts, and that's what we're going to get to. But Jesus himself went around doing these things in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was God, but he operated. I don't know how all that works, but evidently, Jesus is God, but he had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before he could do these works. So let's turn to Acts 1, 4 through 5. We're just going to go through a few scriptures. This is what Jesus told the church, the disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now, this is Jesus talking to the people that he's been with for the last three and a half years, and he's leaving them. He came back. This is the last thing he evidently said to them. Last thing. These are important words that he's telling them. In verse 4, he says, And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But he said, these people have seen the Christ risen. They believe that he's the Christ. Now he tells them, sit tight. Don't go out yet. Don't go do anything with it yet. Because you have to receive power before you go do it. If we don't have the power that the disciples had, we're not going to get the results either. And if we've dumbed down, we have to be careful in our own lives, because even if we've heard this message, we can dumb it down to where we're living just like we don't have it. Okay? If we've all heard the message, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are we practicing it? Are we speaking in tongues? Are we building? Are we keeping ourselves built up and recharged, like the Word of God says, so that we can see the results of it? Because if we're not full, there's many, and I'm not going to go into them today, but there's many references where it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or we're just about to read where they were filled with the Holy Spirit initially, but after that they were filled. They were filled. And if we don't stay full and we don't actively are conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in us, that he wants to do things through us, that every day when we're walking around, the Holy Spirit is there to work in our lives, to direct us in our personal lives, to direct us on our job, that every time we talk to somebody, that he's there to direct us, just like we started out talking with. Right now, the Holy Spirit is present. See, we get to where at church, we expect it. But when you walk out this door, the Holy Spirit is right there at the same time. He's still there. I heard a story of a missionary once. He was over, and I've experienced this kind of because, I went to the Philippines once. But anyway, this guy was in Russia, and it was during a time when, it was not safe. And he was going around, man, as soon as his plane landed, It's like his antenna were up. It's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I mean, he had a limited time there. He was smuggling some books in, I think, some Christian books to get around. And his antenna was up. He was walking around just, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? You want me to talk to this person? What you want me to go here? Because his life was on the line, and he was ready to do what God wanted him to do, and he was aware that the Holy Spirit was there directing him because he felt like he was on a mission. And, well, he was on a mission. So he's walking around. What do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? Do you want me to go here? Should I go here? You know, always aware. He gets done. He goes back. As soon as that plane came down, set foot in America, he walks out. Now he's in his normal life. He just walks around, drops it. He's just back to normal, right? We should live the way he was on the mission trip all the time. Because we are on a mission. It is just as important here in America as when we go on a missions trip somewhere to preach the gospel. It's the same thing. Right now, there are people that you run into every day that could use something from you. Not that you have to preach at them. Not that you have to get down and start doing something weird. No, like I said at the beginning, you're out to lunch with them and you say something that changes their life or directs them or answers a question that brings them back to God or something. We don't have to be weird about it. See, the church has gotten deceived. I'm not saying the church in general. I said the thing that the tactic that the devil will always do is if he can't stop something directly, he can't stop the power of the Holy Spirit directly. So what does he do? He'll make us shy away from it because I don't care what it is. People are people. We're all human and we all have corrupt backgrounds in some way. We were all raised somehow incorrectly. None of us had perfect parents. None of us had a perfect upbringing. So people are people. And when people get a hold of certain truths or in any area, natural, spiritual, whatever, some people are going to be weird with it. They will. There's people in every area. There's people that are just fanatics, you know, about certain baseball teams and just to an extent that it completely destroys the rest of our lives. Or football. Or certain stars. There's people that follow after rock groups and don't have a life for themselves because they're off balance. Well, in the church, this is speaking in tongues and the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the power plant, is the exact thing that we need. It's what Jesus told them, you stay put until you have it. This is the key, which I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is what we're going to be reading. So keep this in mind. When the disciples went out and started doing miracles, this is what they had. This is what they wanted. But what we've seen is people are being people, and we're not throwing stones because we've all done things that weren't probably the sanest. If you live for any time at all, we've all done it. So we're not saying, oh, dumb people weren't for them. No, it might have been us. Maybe we did something. But because people are being people, they do something weird. People shy away and say, well, those people that believe in the Holy Spirit or speak in tongues, they're weird. It's weird. Or it's of the devil. Or it's something. And so they shy away. Well, what has the devil done? If he can't stop the power, which he can't, devil's no match for God. He'll make us shy away from it. Like we were talking about a few weeks ago with the sower sowing the word, Satan will come immediately to steal the word if he can. And if it's getting offended at where the word's coming from and saying, but, you know, I've seen weird stuff from that church, so what you're saying can't be true. That's throwing out the baby with the bathwater. The message is true. The people are imperfect. If we get our eyes on the people, no matter what message it is, we'll miss it. Because we'll say, oh, you know, that person's not perfect, so what they're saying can't be true. That's why we have to base it on what the Word of God says, because if it's the Word of God, it's true whether I'm saying it, whether any of you are saying it, or whatever. So with the message of the Holy Spirit, people have backed away. Because there has been excess. There has been weird stuff. There has been people that go out, you know, and just out of order saying stuff, you know, on the job and things when they're getting paid to be working and they're doing weird stuff. True. That doesn't mean that the Bible isn't true. That doesn't mean that these things we're reading today is not true. And if we shy away from it, we'll be just like we don't have it. If we're not actively using it, it's just like we don't believe it. It's like it doesn't have the power. All of a sudden, we're not expecting anything in our lives. We're not expecting to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're not expecting miracles. We're not expecting things to happen out of church. We're not expecting the power because we're not filled. We're not expecting it anymore, so we don't see it. So we have to stir ourselves up to expect it, to see it. So let's go and read. Well, I'm just going to, back in Matthew. We don't have to turn there. But every time I say that, everybody wants to turn there. So let's just turn there. Matthew 26. I don't know how far we're going to get today, but really, it's just an introduction to stir us up to the power of God and to what the Holy Spirit means to us in our Christian life. Matthew 26, verse 69. So it says there in verse 69, so Jesus has been captured. All these disciples, the disciples were with him in the garden. The guards came up, they captured Jesus. And, you know, they had told him, no matter what happens, we're with you. Peter gets a bad rap, but Peter's just human. Peter had said, you know, no matter what, I'm with you. Whether it comes to the death or whatever, I'm with you. Well, they've taken Jesus and taken him prisoner. Now, you know, Peter's following at a distance. Now he's in the courtyard and he's watching. And so people start questioning him. Now, verse 69 says, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. Or Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. What are you talking about, lady? He's just covering his rear end. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath. Lady, I do not know the man. I don't know him. What are you talking about? He's getting agitated. He's scared. Verse 73. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear. He got mad. He's scared, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter earlier was just saying, you know, I'm with you to the end. I'll never leave you. Jesus said, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. And that's exactly what happened. Peter was scared. He was petrified of the people there. You know, a little damsel, girl, comes and asks him. And this, you know, Peter's a fisherman. He's a big guy. And he's scared. He's scared out of his wit. Now turn to back to Acts chapter 2. So we just read in Acts 1. So we're getting back to Acts 2. We just read in Acts 1 that Jesus said, stay there. Don't do anything until you get the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is probably the state. Peter was, you know, a leader of the disciples. This is the state of these people. Jesus has risen at this point, but this is where they're at as far as, Jesus has risen. They might feel better now, but when push came to shove, they folded up. They were scared. So Jesus says, stay here till you get your equipment, what you need. Because if they had gone out like this and stuff that's going to happen came up against them, they'd probably fold up again. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 2, verse 1, let's read there. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, we could go through all the places where it talks about the people speaking in tongues, which we've done before and we may do coming up. But they spoke with other tongues. These are the disciples. These are the people, you know, that are saints. People call them saints, whatever. They spoke with tongues. It says there in black and white, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And something changed. This is what God told them to wait for. This is the difference in their lives. So when we go forward now, they go out from that room, and people thought they were drunk. People thought they were, you know, weird. And Peter gets up and just starts speaking to everybody. This is the guy that cowered away and, you know, was afraid, was cursing and swearing because he was afraid of what people might think of him when he was with Jesus. He got up just in front of everybody. That's, you know, that's the greatest fear people have is public speaking. He just got up in the middle of the square. I mean, that takes guts. I don't know. Maybe it was a little different in that time. But if I'm going to go down here in the downtown Andover, make it downtown Boston where there's a lot of people, there's people milling about, and just open my mouth and start speaking, that takes guts right there. This guy just got up, this guy that was fearful, and just started telling them who Jesus was. He was bold. He had the equipment at this point. He had the power of God in his point, the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So if you just read, he goes and preaches. And people come and people believe it. In verse 40, if you skip down to verse 40, it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to him. 3,000 people came to know God at that point, believed on Jesus, because Peter got up and preached to him, and he was bold about it. And so this is the pattern then that we see throughout Acts, that people go around and they're preaching Jesus and they're preaching Christ and that he saves and that he heals and that he delivers and that he is the answer to everything essentially. And they had the power to back it up. See, if we go and preach and we say certain things, but we don't have any power in our life, and there's a lot of other things. We don't take power, the power of God in isolation. There is love. There is how you behave. I mean, if we don't walk in love and we don't do our job on our job and we don't, you know, treat our wife or our spouse with respect or treat our kids with respect, but we think we have the power of God, we missed it. Okay? That's what people have done. They get a hold of this and they say, well, let's throw out the rest of the Bible and let's go. We have the power of God, so nothing else matters. People listen to me regardless of my character. It's not true. See, that's why then people go, those Holy Ghost people, they don't, you know, fine, they believe that, but look at their lives are a wreck. So what do people do? Ah, forget it. I don't want, those guys are flaky. They're weird. I don't have anything to do with that. So what does Satan do? Shut down the power plant? So people back away from the Holy Spirit. People back away from the thing that's going to be the guarantee, the stamp of approval on what they're saying. See, we should have it all. We should walk in love. We should be the best employees. We should be the best spouses. We should be the best parents. We should be the best citizens. We should pay our bills on time. We should do all that. We should be just everything that God said. See, God wrote all the things in the Old Testament as well. God, you know, those people worked hard. They were wealthy, but they also had things they did. They worked hard. They worked 6 days a week, took a day off. They did all these things. There are things that God told all of Proverbs. Proverbs tells us all kinds of things, how to operate our lives, how to use wisdom with people. That doesn't all go by the wayside just because we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because we get filled with the Holy Spirit, see, that's the thing that we need to back up. That's the supernatural stamp of approval from God that his power is going to flow through that no man can do. But if we walk with character, if we walk godly, if we walk the way the letters, Paul, in all the letters that Paul's written and all the different things in the New Testament, if we walk that way, But at the same time, flow with the Holy Spirit and are aware of that, then that's a combination you can't beat. As somebody said, it's the combination of the natural with the supernatural that makes an explosive force for God. If you think it's all about supernatural, you'll miss it. We'll miss it because we live in natural bodies. We have to eat. We have to sleep. We have to interact with the people around us. And if we're just a bear to be around, but we think we have the power of God, we're not going to do much good. Nobody's going to listen to us. Nobody's going to want to be around us. They're going to go running when they see us. However, if we walk in the things that we're supposed to, we are the best employee. We're not making comparison. We're the best we can be. We're doing our hearts right. We're doing things the way the best we know how. We're being the best spouse we can be, best father, best mother, and we know that the whole time we're doing all that, when we're at home doing some mundane thing like mowing the lawn or cooking dinner, that God is right there with us, that the Holy Spirit is right there with us, that if our neighbor came to the door, it's just the same as if we were in Russia and somebody came to the door, that our antenna is up because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I have the power of God residing in me. I have the answer residing in me. Therefore, I do all these things right. Not to earn anything from God, but because I have this from God, then I walk right, and plus I know that I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have the power source. So if somebody needs something, if I need something in my own life, I'm not powerless. There's a big difference. And that's where he missed it. But if we'll pick it up, not to say that we dropped it, but I know in my own life, it's so, you know, it's just so easy to drop things. You're not speaking in tongues. You're not looking to the Holy Spirit. You're just going through the grind of life. You're going to work. You're not really expecting anything to be different. You're not expecting something from God. You know, if anybody asked you, you'd say, well, of course I believe all that. I've heard all that. But when we look at what our lives are really doing, we're not flowing in it. We're not walking with it. And so we want the full package. I don't know about you, but I want the full package. I want all that God has for me. And as a church, we want the full thing. We want to do what God has. Now, I don't think we're going to have time to get into everything, but let me just say a few things. I'll read a little bit. So Peter, we might go over some of this again. Let's just read a little bit, though. So Peter goes out. He preaches. Now he's going to the temple in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. I'm just going to keep reading because this preaches itself here. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So the supernatural happens. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and you asked for a murder to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now he goes on, and he tells them to repent and be converted. And then go down to verse 25. "You sons of the prophets and the covenant, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised him up, his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So Peter and John go, they see somebody that needs to be healed, they heal him. They go on, and people, they go ahead and speak to all these people and tell them, "Look, this isn't us, this is the Holy Spirit, this is the power of God It's not by our only godliness that this happened. It's by the power that's working in us. And like they said back here, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, that you may see and know. Or whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, given in the perfect soundness in the presence of this of you all. So then he goes and preaches to him. He is not timid at all. He has the power of God. He tells the people why this happened. And then he gets, it creates this big ruckus, so they take him in. And now they start coming, the rulers start coming, if we kept reading. And they start getting in his face and saying, don't do this. Stop doing this. Quit preaching in the name of Jesus. Quit doing this. And he says, we're not going to do it. We're going to keep doing this. And so he is bold. He's bold, but he has results. He's not bold and just being some fool that people can ridicule. They can ridicule him all they want, but they're afraid now. They're the ones that are afraid. He was the one that was afraid earlier, but now they're afraid because he has the power of God. See, people, like I said, this is not in isolation, but it's the power of God that backs up what we're saying. It's our love that's a witness. But look, you know, people say it doesn't really matter how you get to God. Jesus, any other way, see, we're all preaching the same thing. Some of the moral things, do you realize a lot of people preach those things? They can't make things happen. They can't change their own lives. We're supposed to have the complete package, and the Holy Spirit and his power is what differentiates us, because I guarantee the Holy Spirit isn't working for any people that denies his existence. The Holy Spirit is not working, is not going to exhibit his power through people that deny Jesus, through some other religion. He's working through people that believe and expect what he said here, that the Holy Spirit is the power source, and that we can't witness any more than Peter and the disciples could without the power. Jesus told them to wait, and unless we have it, we're not a witness the way we should be. Thank God. Thank God that we know. And, you know, if you don't have that before you leave here today, you can have that. And just, you know, we can talk, we can pray with you. But we don't have to. And if we have not, if we've heard it, but we have not been expecting it, if we haven't been walking around expecting the Holy Spirit to flow through us, that can change today. When we walk out of here, we start expecting it again. If you have not been speaking in other tongues, I encourage you to speak with other tongues. Paul said, I speak with you tongues more than you all. That God, like one person says, the speaking in tongues is like the gateway to the supernatural. You are yielding yourself to something you can't see, your spirit. You're connecting your mouth up with your spirit instead of your head. And when you do that, you see, you're already shutting down your normal senses and going over here to the spiritual realm and being sensitive. When you do it, you're raising your antenna to where you're putting your spiritual antenna up. And when you build, it's called, it says in another place, building yourself up on your most holy faith, edifying yourself. When you're speaking in tongues and expecting, you're building yourself up. God is praying through you his perfect will. Things that you don't know, that you have no idea of, your family, things that are in your future, things that have to get set up, things on your job. You don't know, but God knows. So he's speaking through you to bring those things to pass. He's getting you set up for your future. And when you do that, you are raising to another level, expecting to see these things. So this week, we can expect to see that in our lives. If we haven't been speaking in tongues, we can redouble our, just say, you know what? It's not works. I'm not talking about works. I'm not saying if you speak an hour a day, you know, then you earn some from God. No. But it's like if you don't go to work, you don't get paid either. You know, it's not a law thing. It's just if you don't exercise, we know the results. If we don't eat, we're hungry. Okay, there are things we have to do. If we'll yield ourselves to God, it's not time wasted. If we'll yield ourselves to God, then things are happening that we don't know. We may not see them, but things are happening. And as we step out in faith and do that, we'll see things. And as a church, we'll go up a level. We'll see things that we haven't seen. We'll expect things that maybe we haven't been expecting. Thank God. I'm just going to spend a moment and just play, and we're just going to just enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit here and just take some time. Mm-hmm.